Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. We're live out here at First Horizon Park ahead of the Nashville Sounds matchup with the Gwinnett Stripers tonight. And joining us now is former NFL General Manager Mark Dominic. Mark, appreciate you for joining us. Appreciate your time today. The Titans just had DeAndre Hopkins in the building, but according to Tom Pelissero, the Titans did not negotiate. The Titans did not have a contract on the table for DeAndre Hopkins. Do you think that's out of the ordinary, and how would you typically approach visits?
Well, it all depends on what the agent and the way, I guess, Hopkins, how he handled everything in terms of, like, I just want to go kick the tires everywhere first, and then we'll talk about business, and maybe it was in that way. And maybe he's trying to drum up a little bit more leverage. So I don't think that's off. I think that it's never great when the guy visits you and then turns around and visits somewhere else, and your odds of bringing him back to the building sometimes are trickier. But we're going to see, to me, if this is the only two teams that are in it, and what's the level of importance for Hopkins to have a chance to win. And I like the New England team, but I got to say, as I look here today, I think the Tennessee Titans have a better chance of winning their division and getting that postseason ticket, which I think is very important to Hopkins.
Mark Dominic is with us, former NFL general manager. What do you think DeAndre Hopkins' value is? What contract would you be willing to put forth for DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, I think I'd like to backload it as much as possible. And Mr. Mason's like, yeah, of course you would, Mark.
Absolutely.
But I think he's fully capable of hitting what you call a not likely to be earned. And what that is it's basically putting his contract at a number above his receptions from last year. Because if you didn't get to that number, then the league and the CBA looks at it might not be likely. He caught 64 balls. So I think the base salary can be between like a $6 and $8 million. And then I think you could build it up off of maybe putting some of those not likely to be earns in there, like 65 or more catches. Plus, if we go to the postseason, and here's another $3 million or something that's tied to not only just catches, but the team performance, you know, in terms of getting to the playoffs and maybe getting it deeper. I always liked what Peyton Manning did with his contract, taking $4 million and say, hey, look, I got to get to the championship game and I got to win a Super Bowl to get my money. And it was also, I think, $14 million base. But I think I'd build it in that realm if I could, depending on again, having to play poker with the Patriots.
We'll talk with Mark Dominic, former GM. Mark, thanks again for having me on your show. I think it was last week or earlier this week.
Yeah.
I get mixed up with the weeks here. But when you're you just brought up something interesting about, you know, a guy coming in, sort of filling his way out. You're filling your way and trying to figure out if he's the right guy for your organization. Are those talks in regards to contracts? Are those talks had prior to the individual coming with the agent saying, hey, listen, the agent calls you and say, my guy wants to take a visit, but we are not talking contracts now. He just want to get a feel for you. You can get a feel for us. Or are you having those talks with agents saying, we just want to get him in the building, see what he's like. We want him here, but we want to get a feel for him.
Yeah, I think it's kind of both ways, and I say that from, you know, it's hard to negotiate a contract. He just turned 31 about a week ago, right? So he's 31 and change, and yet he's got a lot of hits on his body, got a lot of years, and as you know, D-Mac, I mean, it's a hard game to play. Mm-hmm. You want to kind of check his body first, and sometimes you don't want to get into those negotiations. That's kind of what happened with Jimmy Garoppolo, right? Why that fell apart a little bit at Las Vegas is the fact that they're like, whoa, we've got some issues here medically. So you can understand that sometimes as a club, you might say, hey, look, I'd love to bring you in, want to get a physical, and then let's talk deals. Or if you've got a more aggressive agent who's like, hey, look, there's a parameter here, and you've got to be in it, or we're just not flying him all around the country. I think that's probably more likely what happens is like, hey, look, we want to be in this range. If you're around this range, then sure, we'll let him come in and take a visit, but we're also going to go and see the other organizations we might be able to see and make a decision at that point of, you know, what's the best fit for us and what's the best, you know, situation. So I think this one's probably going a little bit of clubs okay with just getting the physical, agents really trying to create a market and doesn't want to pigeonhole him.
Now, is there another team out there? Because obviously we've just discussed the Tennessee Titans and the New England Patriots. He's in New England now. There has been, you know, sort of rumors, possibly Cleveland Kansas City was early on, but they're nowhere in the picture now. Is there a team that you believe that can come out sort of behind the door and sort of figure this thing out and then offer D-Hop a contract?
Well, a little bit. Meaning, you know, I think there's a couple clubs out there that you kind of look around and say, you know, could that fit or how does that work? I mean, it's obviously a lot's going on with Trayvon Diggs and some issues up there in Buffalo. And if push came to shove, could that make sense? Yeah, it could. Don't think it's ideal, but I think it's certainly it could be a place where you could find him. You know, I like where Atlanta is from a you know, a opportunity with the young receivers they have there, and obviously the tight end. Could be in the explosive running back. It could be a fit, a nice fit. I just, again, if I'm Hopkins, I think you got to think more about how do I get a championship ring? How do I bring one home? Because, you know, he's, you know, obviously got 3-4 years left probably in his career. But I think Buffalo would be somewhere where I'd be pushing to see if I could get to. Those are two that kind of stand out a little bit, but it's not a huge market. You know, it's not like there's everybody out there. You know, the Colts have Alec Pierce. They've got, you know, another receiver, a couple receivers, obviously, in the draft. But, you know, are they loaded and have that veteran guy that you just know you can go to the ball with and say, hey, third down? That's why I like the Titans. I mean, it made perfect sense. I'm glad that Rand Carthon brought him in and Coach Vrabel's taking a look at him because I think it is a great fit for the Titans. And I think, you know, I think a lot of people forget how the Titans season ended, and I know it was frustrating and miserable for everybody, but there were a lot of tight games there. And I just, you know, Jacksonville's good, but I don't crown them the champions by any stretch. So I think this is a chance for a Titans team that from the outside looking in really look like they're running maybe one more year before, you know, Tannehill may be gone. We'll see about Derrick Henry, but this is a chance to bring Hopkins in. So I think I'd be more aggressive here and try to get him in the building because I think I can win this division.
Talking to Mark Dominic, former NFL GM, now working with Sirius XM NFL Radio. Mark, how important is the age injury factor, and we put on top of that, this is one that's it's hard to know, but I'm wondering if GMs can get information on, he was suspended for PED, so when you're trying to figure out what to invest in a guy who's had greatness, but the recent history is not quite as good, how much information do you think they have on that?
I think you've got pretty good information, and I think I'd go right to the horse's mouth, and when I sit down with Hopkins, you know, explain to me from your perspective what happened. You could certainly kind of reach out to some people within the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, there is a unique connection, obviously, with Monty Osford being the general manager and close to the Titans that, you know, there could be obviously information that could be sent that you got to be careful about, but you could certainly pull it through. So I think there's enough ties, and I think there's going to be transparency as well. It's not like I don't look at DeAndre Hopkins and think he's trying to cheat the system. I think he really messed up and owned it and had to deal with it, but I don't think it's a pattern that makes me nervous. And again, that's why you want to bring him in because every doctor sees things differently. You know, that's why you want a couple different orthopedic doctors to take a look at his body, take a look at his scans, whatever you need to get done to make sure you're comfortable with where he is health-wise. And then obviously having to sit down and kind of understand where he is mentally and what happened in that situation.
If you're the Patriots and you know he's already been to Tennessee, do you feel like it's a – you know, let's not let him leave. Let's make the offer now. Let's see if we can strike before he takes off. Did you ever try that strategy? What do you think as a GM as they sit right there in New England?
Yeah, I mean, if you're New England, you're trying to get the deal done before he leaves. You hold him in the building. I mean, I remember my first year in Kansas City, which was a long time ago now. I mean, one of the tactics, Carl Peterson was a former general manager, was general manager for 19 years there within the organization. But I was, you know, I was a young guy that drove guys to the airport, right? This was 30 years ago. I picked guys up at the airport and dropped them off. And my job, we brought a free agent in, and my job was to entertain him until he can't go anywhere else. Like, keep him away from everything. Can't go to a phone. Mark, you just have to go downstairs and find different things. Walk him around the stadium. Walk him to the press. Do it, but he's not leaving the building. And that was one of their ploys was, like, you just don't leave, and you just keep coming up with ideas and things to make him, like, break down and say, like, just sign, would you? So, I mean, I would think Bill Belichick's still old school like that and possibly willing to do that. But, yeah, I mean, there's all unique ways to try to keep him in the building. But this one's going to come down to, you know, again, if I'm Hopkins, I like Mac Jones. You know, I'm comfortable there. But, quite frankly, most people that come out of New England now say it's not a fun place to play. It just isn't. And it was okay to play there because you were winning so much. But you can see in Kansas City, you can win a lot too and still have a great time and make the building enjoyable. And I think that that's the only thing, if Hopkins was my client, I'd be reminding him or saying, make sure you talk to people that have been through that building to make sure where is it today.
So if you're Rand Carthon, and you've talked to DeAndre Hopkins, he leaves. How does it work? How do you try to keep the relationships and say, look, you're going other places. We know that, but hey, before you make a deal anywhere else, give us a call. I mean, how does that part of it work if you're in the Titans shoes right now?
Yeah, you're trying to be very subtle. Usually you try to use the receiver coach or somebody that's got a connection to Hopkins so you don't seem as desperate for the agent to sit there and go, look, I think this thing's 15 million, not 12 or 10. You know they're very desperate. So you find the connection between you and Hopkins in your organization, and that's your point person that kind of just shoots some texts and just checking on them and, man, what are you going to do? You look sweet in this uniform and fun pictures and just kind of make it lighthearted instead of, like, before you do anything, because that's the dreaded line where – Derek's like, yeah, that's the one we wanted to hear. Before you do it, I'm going to pay more, so come on, hang with me. So you got to be very careful. I think it's more of just like, hey, you know, you assign somebody Hopkins, they interact, and, you know, that person can be a little bit more like, you know, a little more aggressive with the tone of the texts or the calls, where you want to stay above that if you're the negotiator in that deal.
Now, the last one for me, Mark, before I pass it over to Caroline. You brought up the Stephon Diggs situation there in Buffalo. As a GM, and I'm not asking specifically about what's going on with Stephon Diggs in Buffalo, but how do you handle a situation like that as a GM when it seems like this just came out of the blue?
Yeah, there has been whispers, honestly, about there was some frustration there, what it sounds like in terms of even before the draft. You know, I thought that there was a chance that, you know, they might trade Stephon Diggs just because I'd heard some frustrations within that organization, within that building. So I think that obviously it seems like things have worked up, but this is something that isn't just, I don't think it just popped up actually, Derek. I think this is something that I've heard out even before the draft. There was an issue going on and they were trying to figure it or work through it. And I have a feeling it's finally gotten to a point where it sounds like it's been resolved. But at this point, it's something where I'm always going to keep my eyes on Buffalo, and that's why quietly, depending on how it's all going, you know, I'm leaning out to Hopkins possibly, but I'm saying that this line of, if I read about this, we are not interested. You know, if I see our name, the Buffalo Bills, attached to this conversation, I'm going to come out in the media and I'm going to mean it, that we're in zero discussions with this contract. So we have to keep this private because we're still working through some things. And if you want to do that, then we'd like to continue the conversation. So that's how sometimes we don't get all the information, mm-hmm. depending on how the angle you want to present it to the player. But in this one, I think that the Diggs one, it sounds like they finally kind of buried the hatchet a little bit.
Former NFL General Manager Mark Domenech is with us. Last one for you, Mark. With DeAndre Hopkins and the Titans, I'm a little bit conflicted because I don't have any interest in the Titans, you know, overpaying for DeAndre Hopkins, a $20 million contract, for example. But also on the other side, I look at it like the Titans need some help in that wide receiver room. They didn't address wide receiver until the last round of the NFL draft. They weren't really involved in any other wide receiver in free agency. So I look at it like I don't want the Titans to overpay, but also might just be a little bit desperate. What's your philosophy on balancing need versus not breaking the bank for a player like DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah, I think, Caroline, it goes back to my thought of where I think this football team is. And I think this football team is trying to win the South. And I think they have the ability to do that. I think Coach Vrabel gets the most out of just about every player he coaches. I love the guy. I think he's a great football coach. And I think that you're right. If you didn't know, you know, if you didn't know the Nashville Titans, you know, in their football team and that depth chart in that room, you'd be hard pressed to come up with the name of Kyle Phillips. You know, it's just like, you know, one, there's a guy named Burks. And besides that, you know, Arizona Cardinal fans, like, I have no idea who else is on that team. Right. So it's just, it's that meek, that thin at that position. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is where, again, they don't have a ton of cap space, but you can create the room to get him into the contract. And I think you're using that a little bit as leverage. That you may not have the exact room that you'd like to have. But I think this is a point where you don't want to put all the work or all the hope on Traylon Burks, and that he's certainly sounds like he's taken a great step in year two. But to have another player and then, you know, be able to move other guys into the slot or at different spots, because of where this team is with the quarterback, I think it makes a lot of sense to find the space and be able to pay in this situation, because I think you can win the division. If I thought you were Atlanta and you're still learning, I know I mentioned Atlanta as a team, but if I'm being honest about Atlanta, you know, I know that I'm a young team just trying to grow up. I probably don't, you know, I don't know if I'm going to win the division. I don't think I will yet, but I'm hoping to take a big step. I don't think I'd bring Hopkins into that situation.
former NFL general manager Mark Domenech. Appreciate you for joining us. Thank you for your time and insight. We'll chat with you soon.
Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks, Mark. We'll react to what Mark Domenech had to say there coming up next. And, of course, your thoughts as well, 615-737-1025. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.